Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on The Grave Talks, part 2 of our conversation about investigative techniques and hauntings in Milwaukee with Noah Lee and Gravy from Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. So let's talk about the Brumder Mansion there in Milwaukee. And you have investigated that multiple times. In fact, I saw on your Facebook page you were doing, people could join you for a group investigation. Or an overnight stay. Yeah. Like when you think of a haunted house, this is kind of what you would visualize in your head. It kind of just looks like that sort of place that would be haunted. And we should describe it a little bit. What would you say it's built like? Late 1800s, early 1900s?
It was, I believe, late 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. It was built by the Brumder Sr., who was building it for his son. And I think he passed away. I think the son passed away before the building was complete. And then it stayed in the family for several years before it was, before it became, Noah, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was part of the church next door.
It was a halfway house.
Oh, that's a fancy halfway house.
Yeah. And then after that, I think it changed ownership to another couple that was running it as a bed and breakfast, and they were trying to restore it using old-time furniture and get it back to its original glory of a home. And then eventually it was purchased again by the people that now currently own it, and they continue to run it as a bed and breakfast. But it does have this really cool vibe to it when you walk in. It has wood fixtures, it has really old light fixtures, and it just has that real that creaky sense that you get when you walk into it. You're stepping everywhere and the floorboards creak, so you do get that kind of that spooky sensation. And then if you get to stay there, if you decide to stay there, I've never spent the night there myself, but I imagine that it just, you feel that way because the rooms are small, they're cozy, and you just get that sense of that maybe there is something that's going to happen to me tonight while I'm staying here.
And you know, a place like that, when you were talking about bringing in trigger objects, it seems like by restoring a place like that and bringing back maybe some old light fixtures that had been removed from the house, because so many times those old houses, what really makes them special, a lot of times those things have been taken out. But it seems like when you replace them, you're kind of bringing in more objects for any spirits or ghosts that might be there to interact with.
Yeah, I definitely think it sets the atmosphere mm-hmm. up for it, and it gets people in the right frame of mind when things are looking more period to mm-hmm. when the home was in its heyday, if you will, which I just want to be clear. So it was completed in 1910.
Okay.
George Sr., who was building it, did pass away before its completion in 1910 as well. So it was his son that eventually took over. So I just want to make sure those facts are correct. And it was used for a number of different things over the years. And then someone spent a lot of money to get it back to where it is. And then it was passed on to the current owners who love the place, who were from California originally, actually, and split their time between California and Wisconsin now so they can continue operating this business. But yeah, it's very opulently decorated, and they host, there's a theater in the basement. So they have a lot of shows down there, both theatrical productions, magic shows, things like that. And yeah, it's an extremely interesting place with a lot of varied claims of activity. We haven't replicated a lot of those claims, but we have had some audio things captured there as well. That seems to be the most common thing, that is like whispering, it sounds like, in one of the third floor rooms during a public event. And so it was because of where people were stationed at the time, not one of the other participants, because they don't have control recorders. So we can't go back and see if they were making any noise. But based on the investigators present at the time, there was no one else that was whispering when this was captured.
Is there, like, do they, the people who own it, do they have some stories that of things that have happened to them? Because you said they feel really connected to it. Usually people who really love a space either are drawn to the ghosts that are there, or, you know, they kind of want to get away from them. So it makes me think they haven't really had a lot of experiences. Or do you know?
I do know. It's a husband and wife that owns the property. And the husband, I don't believe, has had much of anything happen. At least he doesn't talk about it ever. But the wife is very protective of what she feels is there. And there are very extensive rules when you go to Brumner Mansion about how you can conduct an investigation and what things you are allowed to do and what things you're not allowed to do. So, but she has had a number of things happen, things that she thinks were taken and then brought back in a particular closet in that home. That when they first bought the property, she was staying, you know, sleeping in, claims of things happening to her in the bed. And we actually had an investigator who did stay there. We have a husband and wife who are part of our team who live in the Madison area in Wisconsin here. And so when we have public events, they will stay overnight at Brumner Mansion. And so the wife had a claim that somebody was like stroking her hair while she was in bed. And she thought that that was her husband, which she found to be odd at the time. When she realized her husband was sleeping, then she got very freaked out. That's not captured. That's not evidence per se. It's a personal experience, but it's something that she claims to have happened in what's the suite?
George's suite.
George's suite. That's right. Where she was staying.
Any other locations in the Milwaukee area that you find it particularly interesting? And then we can talk about outside of Milwaukee, because you guys have been in so many places.
I would like to say there is one place that I cannot name. I'm not allowed to name the location, but it was a place of business. We have a piece of audio evidence that is one of my favorites just by what it says. And it's one of Noah's favorites because it actually replicates the claim that people were making in the basement where these women would work. And we were investigating the location one night, and upon evidence review, I captured on my audio recorder a voice that whispers, "Get out." And as creepy as that sounds, it actually replicates the claims that the women made when they said they would hear somebody say their names and tell them to get out.
I want all things for you to get to.
Yeah, and I would love to go back there, but unfortunately, the two owners have differences on what should be done, and one wants us there, the other one doesn't. So we can't seem to get back in there to see if we could figure out where or how that sound originated.
Noah, what places do you like in the Milwaukee area or that you've been particularly interested in?
Really, I would like to get into some of the places that we haven't been able to get permission to get into, just because I think it's so important to get that firsthand experience. So I would love to investigate the Pabst Mansion, and I'd love to investigate the Rave, not so much because of the claims. The claims to me are a bit minor, but just to kind of put it to bed, if you will, about what supposedly happened there. And
so for those of us who don't know what the story is, can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so the Rave is a music venue here in Milwaukee. It's somewhat famous. It's had some pretty big musicians come and play at it and bands play at it over the years and still do. It's still an active site. But it used to be, when it was originally constructed, it was the Eagles Ballroom, like a YMCA club that had a pool in it. So there's multiple basement levels. And I believe the pool is on like the second or third level of the basement. And there is a documented drowning that happened in that pool of a child when it was used as that purpose. And the pool is still there, but it's not in use. I don't know. I've never seen it myself other than pictures. So I'm not sure what state it's in. But supposedly there's claims. So because it was a music venue, people would sneak into these lower levels to do things. And then would come up with, you know, I heard a child crying, or I heard a little girl laughing, or I saw a child. And so those are the sorts of claims that are there at the rave. But unfortunately, when it comes to trying to get permission to actually investigate those claims, we have not been successful in getting permission. The people who own it are not paranormally inclined, and they're obviously having enough business with the shows and stuff like that they're booking there, so that we're not able to go. But you know, it's always one that comes up when people talk about places that are haunted in Milwaukee. And I just feel like since this is where we're based out of, it would just be good to be able to have some first person experience mm-hmm. in those locations to really try and say, like, what are we working with? Are there things here that could replicate what people are claiming to have happened? Setting aside the fact that, you know, were they under the influence of substances at the time that these claims were made? Since, again, there's no official sorts of investigations that have occurred. These are just stories that people tell that after they've been out at a show and have gotten into those spaces.
Is it the Pfister or Pfister Hotel?
The Pfister.
Pfister Hotel. Pfister Hotel. Because that one has been in the news lately and I've heard of it before. Is that one you're able to go into to investigate? And it's been in the news lately because Mookie Betts with the Dodgers, the team was staying at that hotel when they're playing the Brewers. And he's like, I'm not staying in that hotel. So he went and rented his own place, which is fine. He's got plenty of money. He can do that. He can stay wherever he wants to stay. But I think that's interesting where people are refusing the room that comes with the team for free because they think the hotel is haunted. So what kind of stories have you heard about that hotel and have you been able to get in there?
You know, to step back real quick, I think I heard once that when the sports teams are brought into Milwaukee to play, whether it be against the Bucks or the Brewers, they are put up in that hotel for that reason alone, that they're hoping they'll go in there, have a terrible night's sleep. So that way the next day when they compete against each other, the teams have an edge over them.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yes.
And that makes some sense too, because the Brewers are always doing really well. That's a good team.
When they're home.
When they're home. But my team, the Cubs, they're not doing so good this year, but whatever. But I think that's really an interesting thought. That makes perfect sense to me.
And there was even a Brewer player that liked being on the Brewers because then he knew he would never have to stay at that hotel. I don't remember which one that was. But
is that one that they ever let anybody come in to investigate it?
Unfortunately, no.
There's been no official investigations of the Pfister. They have done, during Halloween time, they have kind of these ghost tours. So the Pfister, for those who are unaware, there's an old part of the Pfister, and then there's a tower that was built in the 60s. It's all part of the same hotel, but the old part of the Pfister would conceivably have more of the history. But where the ball players and basketball players stay at is in the tower, which would have less history because it's not as old. But there has been a documented suicide that has happened in some of the rooms where ball players and basketball players have claimed to have activity occur are associated with that suicide. There is some history to it. You know, there's claims in the old part of the hotel of Mr. Pfister himself being seen. And then I believe his office was on. I think the old part of the hotel, I think, is only three stories, if I remember correctly. And I think his office was on the third story. And so sometimes the elevator will be called to the third story. Supposedly when no one has called it, the doors just open. And then they think that the Pfister, Mr. Pfister coming out to his office. And then there's actually a My Ghost Story with Joey Lawrence. I don't know if you saw that, where he stayed at the Pfister and he stayed in the honeymoon suite or presidential suite, one of the bigger suites, which is actually located in the old part of the hotel. And he recounts a very harrowing tale of what he experienced in that hotel, but obviously is very dramatized in the show, but had a pretty profound experience to him anyways while he stayed there. But I think, you know, the other thing that people that we have to think about is it's well known that these claims are out there about the ball players. And when they go there, they have a lot of teammates that are staying on the same floors. And those teammates probably know those who are more nervous about staying at that hotel versus others. And teammates being teammates may try to mess with some of those ball players, those other teammates, just because they think it's funny. And so, you know, that's something that is also a possibility about what's going on here. And frankly, is probably more probable than actual activity occurring at that hotel. But again, without us being able to get some first person experience, it's hard to say one way or another.
You have been to so many different locations. And so I'm opening this up to outside of Milwaukee or Wisconsin. What are some locations that really surprised you? One or two locations you went to that you really did get a lot of evidence when you were there? And I'll start with you, Noah. Can you think of any place off the top of your head? And I'll let Gravy think about it.
Yeah. And so it didn't result in evidence. Just because of what happened and when it happened and how it happened, unfortunately, we don't have good evidence to support it. But it was probably, you know, the most profound thing that we've had happen on an investigation. That was an investigation that we did at Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. So this was the third investigation of four in our first major expedition that we did to going around to famously, in air quotes, haunted locations around the U.S. And these were places that were all on TV. And so I got there. I was extremely tired and pretty, to be honest, you know, kind of done with it. You know, I was tired and hot and nothing really major happened in the first two spots. I'm like, this is just going to be a bust. This is an old bar. It's really not really great to look at. Pain in the butt, dirt floor basement. I don't think this is going to be anything. And so we're getting a tour of the location from the location manager at the time, going over the claims and things like that, the sort of things they do at these sorts of places. And it was myself and Gravy was there and a female investigator and two other investigators that were elsewhere in the basement of this location. And we were just listening to the manager. And all of a sudden, the female investigator, which is about 10 feet away from me, falls over backwards. And so I thought that she had tripped. And so I went over to help her because there was broken glass on the ground and I didn't want her to get cut. And when I went to help her up, she had this very shocked look on her face. And so then I was worried that she had cut herself. I'm like, oh geez, do we have to get stitches? What's going on? And then she says, something just pushed me down. And I was like, what? Are you sure you didn't just fall? And she had moved backwards a decent amount, you know, probably 3 or 4 feet. But I thought maybe she stumbled or, you know, whatever. You know, how people fall is always different. She says, no, I felt like somebody had two hands pushed me right in the middle of the chest backwards. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, well, that hasn't happened before. And of course, we didn't have anything running at the time, except for, I think, maybe one audio recorder to record whatever the person was saying about the claims. No cameras up, nothing. And so right away we get into, you know, oh, geez, I mean, this is profound. We've never had anyone get touched, let alone pushed on an investigation. So we better, you know, gear up. So we did that. And we had cameras running and we were, you know, set to go. I had a camera mounted on my body so that I could be trying to point it at this person the entire time that we were investigating, just in case it happened again. About an hour later, we were in what is called the Wall of Faces room, which is also in the basement, about, I don't know, 15, 20 feet from where this investigator had pushed down the first time. We were all standing around a table that had some like toys on it that lit up. And then we were trying to get something to doing an EVP session, trying to get something to manipulate toys on the table. And then all of a sudden, and so I'm standing up and the female investigator's to my left. And my camera is facing forward towards the table. We're trying to get something to happen. And we did have a camera stationary in the back of the room, which had the entire field. So all of a sudden, I hear this slapping noise on the floor. It's pitch black, so we can't see anything. Slapping noise. And I could feel the female investigator's hands like trying to grab onto something. And I look over and she's actually, so she was just far enough away from the wall where she could kind of do like a shoulder sit. If you, you know, like a wall sit, you press your back against the wall. Mm-hmm. Well, all she had was her shoulders pressed against the wall to try and prevent her from falling completely to the ground. And I quickly help her up and said, you know, what's going on? And she says, I got pushed again. The same thing. Two hands pushed me right in the middle of my chest. My camera that I was wearing didn't capture it. And the camera that we had stationary in the back of the room, which would have captured it, there was an investigator that was moving back and forth. And unfortunately, they were standing right in front of her when that happened. So we were unable to get her being pushed. We just kind of have the event happen. You can hear the audio. And then she gets taken out of the room and out of the building. You know, that is probably the most profound thing that has happened on investigation that we have done. And we have investigated that location since. We went back actually that same year, just a few months later, to try and replicate what happened to see if we could get any sort of similar activity to occur. And we did not. We also did not capture any other evidence, no EVPs or anything were captured at the time. We had lots of audio running. Nothing else was captured during that time or during subsequent investigations that we did there. So, you know, people ask me, well, what did, you know, was that a ghost or, you know, was that a demon? Was that a spirit that did that? And I say, I don't know. Like, I don't have any evidence to point to that. All I have is her telling me that she felt this thing and me being by her. And I trust that she's not making it up. And granted, she's putting her body on the line, falling backwards in the dark. If she was, and again, her personality isn't just not to be that way. So all I can draw conclusions from is something happened to her on that investigation by something that we couldn't see. What exactly it was, we don't know.
Was it upsetting to her? Because that would kind of freak me out. It's like something in here does not like me.
You know, strangely enough, it wasn't. You know, the first time it happened, I'm like, oh, geez, you know, is she not going to want to do this investigation? She was really just more shocked, like, that it happened more than anything else. She wasn't really shaken. The second time it happened, I think she was a little more shaken, but we continued investigating. We went back down there and she was there. And, you know, she was a trooper about it. And she wasn't really concerned about that and was really more about, like, how can we capture this? You know, how can we use this in a means to try and gather some information? And again, she was also more than happy to go back when we returned to the facility later on. But she took it very well. Let's just put it that way.
Let's just say she had her back against the wall the rest of the night.
Well, that was the safest thing for her.
Yeah. Ironically, it was actually her second time visiting this location. She had been there once before with a group prior to being in PIM. So when she had this happen to her, it was the second time her visiting that location.
Of all the things I could have randomly read before this interview, I read about that particular investigation on your website. I just think it's so interesting the way it's all laid out. So you can go on the website. It's paranormalmilwaukee.com. Did I get that right? And so you can go on their website and read all about that investigation or any other investigation that they've got listed there. And Gravy, is there any place that you went that you were particularly, maybe something happened you couldn't explain or something that it just really stuck with you as an investigator?
Not sure how I can top that.
That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I know I shouldn't have gone first. Let's go back to Milwaukee. The Paradise Theater, which is now a church, it's located in West Dallas. It's kind of right at a corner of an intersection where Greenfield and National cross. So it's kind of a weird angled building, but it has a theater in it. It was one of the first places I investigated where I had something happen that I couldn't explain. The claim being that the seats themselves will fold down on their own. If you go in there and you were to play with the seats, they're actually spring-loaded. So if you don't push them all the way down, they will spring back up. Prior to the investigation, I walked around the whole theater. I swear to God, I did this perfectly. I walked around. I walked up and down the aisles. I made sure every seat was up prior to investigating. So that way, when we took our photos, if we would get like a baseline of all the seats to make sure that they're up. Well, later in the night, I came back. We're in the theater asking questions. I said, hey, if you're here with us, can you please sit down in your favorite seat? At that time, one of our investigators heard a noise coming from behind her. We kind of looked into it. We didn't see anything at first, or we couldn't figure out where the noise came from. But then when we were done and we were getting ready to leave the room to go to another location in the theater to investigate, I was walking up the aisle, and the third row from the back, right on the end, one of the seats was down. And so I asked the investigator, hey, go sit back where you're sitting. I'm going to move the seat. Tell me the noise that it makes is a sound that you heard. And sure enough, she said, yes, that was a sound I heard. So when I asked that question, she heard that sound, and we think that it was the seat being moved down. And in order for the seat to stay down, it has to be pushed all the way down for the cushions to hold it in place, because they were kind of really heavily padded. So they would kind of, the pressure of the pads would hold them on the armrest, so that way they wouldn't pop up. But if you move it up even like an inch or two from there, they would spring load and pop back up. So that was one thing that was really interesting, and I've always wanted to get back in there. I even contacted the church hoping to get back in there, because I would love to investigate that place again. One of the first places I ever investigated, and having interesting things like that happen.
And now that it's a church, depending on their denomination, they might be okay with it. They might not.
No, they were not okay with it.
Yeah.
They were trying to get me to come there, but I'm good.
They wanted you to find Jesus while you were there.
Yes, yes.
You can go to the website. I think it's very interesting. You can really take a deep dive into a lot of different investigations and the notes and what you can read about these different places. I found fascinating. You guys have done a great job with that. So you can go to paranormalmilwaukee.com. And also, you've got a Facebook page people can follow, and that's Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. Any other ways? Are you guys on Instagram or any place else where they can follow you?
We have a YouTube channel where we do paranormal reviews of places that we've investigated, and also some informative videos about equipment and orbs that we have done to try to give some information to people, again, educating.
We do have an Instagram. I try to keep it up to date as much as possible.
And I'm going to guess it's something like Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee.
Very close.
Okay. I will find it and I will follow you guys. Thank you so much for your time tonight. This has been really interesting, and I really do appreciate your approach to all of this. So it was a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Noah Lee and Gravy from Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee. Get more information about them, as well as read all about the evidence collected at various locations at paranormalmilwaukee.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it there for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.